For what's on in sport, you've got the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. For what's on at the Star, see thestarsydney.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And New South Wales have a 1-0 lead in State of Origin 2021.
Goes himself, fools the ball with a dummy, and Queensland get on the board. Luttrell is over. What Luttrell's night tonight. Turbo Tom. Goodbye! Cleary's away.
Here we go.
He's Teddy. Got Tom on his outside. Teddy. He's got Teddy. Teddy now up to the 30. Leaving. Flick pass. Turbo Tom. Goodbye! 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 He's got three. New South Wales are going to hit 50. To spare. New South Wales, they have had 55 wins, none as big as this. Full time, what a shellacking. Blues 50, Maroons 6.
Oh, what a call, MG. How are the butterflies this morning?
Well, the butterflies are resting now because they were flapping wildly last night before the game, but what a demolition. It was basically boys against men last night, and it was... It was very unlike Origin. It was so lopsided. I've never seen a more lopsided game. I know the Queenslanders beat us in 2015 or something by 52 points to 6. I don't remember that.
convenient.
But last night, that was from the opening set, Liam, it was just evident that New South Wales were on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are going to break down the New South Wales performance. Brad Fittler's going to join us fresh off the plane from Townsville. We have got to talk about the weekend of footy ahead as well. Reedy's going to join us with his usual mail, but we need to get to this off the top.
The Triple M Rush Hour with MG. What's cracking? Brought to you by Kraken and Dry Premix, the taste you've been hunting for.
50-6 point demolition job last night in Townsville. It was a jam-packed Queenslander crowd, MG, but they walked away probably happy to have seen a game of State of Origin in their town, but disappointed with the result.
Yeah, very disappointed. Look, as I mentioned before, in the opening set, we saw Turbo, Teddy, then Turbo in the first set of six take control of the ball. So there was an obvious edit from Coach Freddie, who issued the outside backs, in particular Tommy Turbo, a license to thrill, and he did not disappoint. Luttrell's involvements were explosive. Tarek Sims was unbelievable.
Wasn't he?
Brian To'o on the boo, 26 runs.
Just quickly, stopping down on Tarek Sims there for a moment, I think you would, if some honest New South Welsh people put their hands up, they would have said he was the iffy selection for this.
Of course they would have. Yeah, and I think he would have said it himself. That's the first time he started in a Origin game. And now that Angus Crichton's fit, he could find himself out because of that Tarek Sims' performance last night. It was major.
There's no way Freddie drops him for game two. Absolutely no way.
The only way that team will be changed is through to injury or suspension. Otherwise, on form, you can't. Brian To'o, 26 runs, 230 metres, two tries. Cam Murray's defence on David Fifita was, in a word, wow. I think Fifita had 19 runs, and 16 times in them explosive runs that he usually has, Cam Murray cut him down in half. And that was kind of, when the Queensland forwards were looking at that happen, they thought, okay, well, if they're doing it to him, imagine what they're going to do to us. So, and New South Wales halves in combination, Nathan Cleary's best game in Origin. Jerome Luai looks like he's been there for 10 years. He was just freestyling, baby. You know, just freestyling. And a big pat in the back to Payne Haas off the bench, who ran for the most metres out of all forwards. So, look, when you win 50 points to 6, there is no bad players.
No.
There is none. The coach coached them to a T. Well done, Freddie, in sticking solid to your convictions. A lot of people thought you might go for Tupu instead of To'o. Yeah, and a lot of people thought you might have went for Whiten instead of Luai. Well done in backing the team that was on fire. That is Penrith, and backing their players, because Isaiah Yeo was enormous in the middle, and when Liam Martin came on, he didn't disappoint either. So
no.
Overall, you really, what can you say? I remember through the game last night, commentating with Dell and Gerds, and just looking at them with the shrugging, going, well, I haven't seen this before. I've never commentated in a game that's been so one-sided.
Hey, Liam Martin, he had almost the Nathan Brown moment from last year's series, where he didn't get a lot of time, but you knew when he came on he was going to do something. And Cam Munster was his man, and he copped a little shin to the ribs as a bit of payback from Cam Munster, just a fine for that. But he's similar vein to Nathan Brown. When he got his opportunity, you knew he was going to make it count, and he did. Brad Fittler is going to join us very shortly, to fresh off the plane from Townsville. I'm interested to get his moment of the game, because I've got a feeling it's a defensive one, MG. It was as Queensland were close to the line late in that second half.
About 3 minutes to go.
There you go. Latrell Mitchell, Brian Toto, and then Isaiah Yeo to stop them while they're leading 50 points to 6. That defensive mindset would have pleased Freddie no end.
No end. And if you remember early stages of this season, when Billy Kickow did the same thing for Ollam when he held him up. So the Penrith desperation shone through. I'm not trying to taint this at all as a Penrith victory, but the players that he picked, Freddie, were in form. And usually when that happens, the other players around them respond. Hey. And Tommy Turbo last night. I mean, so what happens with Tommy Turbo, right, Liam? A lot of people might say, why don't other fullbacks do exactly the same thing? Because it's an art to read a game two or three tackles before it's happening, and that's exactly what he does. He doesn't get in the way. When he wants the ball, there must be an overcall that's called Turbo, because when he wants it, give it to him. He's 6'5". He plays like a halfback. He hits the ball up like a front rower. The most valuable player in the game by far is Tommy Turbo.
You said this 2 months ago on the show when he hit this vein of form for Manly. You said, I have never seen a player like this. He may be the best rugby league player I've ever seen.
On last night's performance and the last 8 weeks of rugby league, he is. He is the best player that I've ever seen. And I'll reiterate what I said then. This was 6 weeks ago, or a month ago I said it. But the things he does, it's without injury, he's just so explosive. And he's just always in the game. Even when he's backing up, like, he has the presence to go he sees someone like a Jerome Luai, or he sees Nathan Cleary make a break. He's there. Same as Teddy. He overshadowed Teddy last night, and Latrell did to a certain degree as well. But as for this centre pairing, this is the best centre pairing in Origin history, in New South Wales Origin history. Obviously, you've got Gene Miles and Mau Meninga for the Maroons, but tell me another pair who were better.
Well, the irony of it is that the problem with New South Wales, according to the critics last year, was that they picked centres out of position. They had Jack Whiten and Clint Gutherson. They're still playing two fullbacks in the centres this year. There's just different names on the backs of the jerseys.
There's a big but. Tommy Turbo has starred in the centres for New South Wales. In fact, he scored his last hat-trick in the centres in Perth. And Latrell's played most of his career at centre. So it was a calculated gamble, or not really a calculated gamble, it was a calculated selection from Freddie, because he knows that you've got to pick your best 17 and find a spot for them. And Latrell, it's one of his first touches. He just ran up that sideline and went around Dane Gagai like he wasn't there.
Burnt him.
He made good play. The good players make good players look. Other good players look bad.
And that's
what Turbo and Latrell did last night.
When Jerome Luai made that break in the second half and got the inside ball to Latrell Mitchell, Tom Trbojevic came
from
12 players deep. He ran past about 12 players to be the support player and score. So it was ridiculous. Well, the 50-6 scoreline, MG, look, there's plenty of problems that Paul Green needs to address, but I've got one I want you to answer.
Triple M rocks the footy, and this is the burning question.
What do Queensland do about this New South Wales centre pairing? How do they stop it?
I don't know. But I will give them some advice for free, that they've got to inject someone like an AJ Brimson, not at hooker. He's never played there in his life. Not picking Ben Hunt was a major faux pas. Look, let's be honest. Christian Walsh's injury was massive in the first 15 minutes. He was their alpha male, gone. Munster and Grant way short of a gallop. Capewell tried. I think Kyle Felt was out of his depth. DCE had another quiet game. I think the best player was Fotowaker off the bench. And he's the only guy in the whole game who got suspended. But going forward, Josh Papali will come back into it. Kalen Ponga, maybe. You've got to play Ben Hunt. But the cupboard's pretty bare as far as Queensland centres go. And that's the big worry. Do you go back to the well of last year, where you find someone like a Branko Lee or a Philip Sammy who can just do the job as centres? Do you pick centres? Not just, these guys like Capel's a back rower for Penrith and Gagai's, well, Gagai's a centre. You'd say Gagai's a centre, but look, as I said, these two players, Turbo and Latrell, make good players look ordinary. And Gagai and Capel are both good players, but the other two guys are way superior.
Quick tip of the lid as well to referee Jared Sutton for the way he managed the game last night, because there was a lot of nerves that today we would be talking about, oh no, the crackdown's hit Origin. Origin's not the product it used to be. I haven't heard that whispered once. We saw that Munster's copped a fine. Fotowaker has copped a suspension for... Kyle Felt copped a fine, but we saw some six agains, but it wasn't an over... It was refereed like Origin should be.
Oh, the first six to goes went to Queensland, and they couldn't do anything with it.
Mm.
Overall, both sides had pretty much the same amount of ball, but the creativity of Queensland was missing, was vacant, was gone, it vanished. And they've got to find, in 2 short weeks, they've got to find an antidote to find how they're going to get back on the winning list, because New South Wales could be coming to Sydney in the third game with the series already wrapped up.
On a victory lap.
That's Queensland's biggest nightmare.
Yeah, well, it strikes me that they've got to get Harry Grant and Cam Munster fitter in the next 17 days or whatever they've got between games one and two, and that will change the dynamic. I mean, Harry Grant looked dangerous in those opening sort of 5-10 minutes, but ran out.
But then
of
he needed somebody like a Ben Hunt to come on and replace him so he could get back and do it again.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, I'm not sure if we answered the burning question of what do Queensland do about the New South Wales centres.
They panic. You know what they do? I'll tell you what they do. They panic. Panic, man, because if you've got Turbo and Latrell, another 2 weeks of fitness to go, they're just shut the gate. Shut the gate.
The day after MG, State of Origin, New South Wales 50-6, an absolute pleasure to welcome in presumably a very happy New South Wales coach, Brad Fittler. G'day, Freddie.
G'day, Liam. MG.
I think Liam's right. Presumably, I'd say big time. Everything happened last night, Freddie. I know you'll try and keep a lid on the win because the series is still obviously wide open, but that was calculated. That was... In a word, that was a demolition job.
Yeah, and I think the conditions had a fair bit to do with the scoreline. I mean, obviously, our boys were, you know, very in tune. They just a great brand of footy. Everyone played their part. Some shone brighter than others, but at the end of the day, I think with the conditions, it really allowed. Once we sort of started to get on top of them, they just allowed you to overwhelm them a bit because you could move the ball so well. So. We appreciated the conditions in North Queensland.
I appreciate you saying that because everyone did play their part. And you've got to, when you beat a team 50-6 in the Origin Arena, which is the toughest arena there is. The opening set kind of indicated that you had given Tommy Turbo a license to thrill. He took the second and he took the fourth hit up, and I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, he's just going to be everywhere, this kid. And we spoke about it earlier in the show about not every fullback can do that because of the fact that they'll get in the way or they complicate things. But Tommy Turbo is kind of a 6'5" halfback, isn't he?
Well, it's handy too, and you've got a back row that can play in the centres and the wing, and then the winger sort of did his job as well. And Nathan, you know, there's all sorts of things that go into play when Tommy, you allow him to play like that. So I'm not sure he realised what jersey he was wearing, what number was on the back. You're sitting out there going, really, Tom? You want to run us 3 front rows?
I know.
Right. That's awesome.
Well, Freddie, MG said that he can't recall seeing a footballer like Tom ever, and that over the last 8 weeks he's shown that he's one of the best rugby league players MG's ever seen. Can you compare him to anything that you've either played with or coached in your career?
I think, well, the game's gone away where it's sort of so structured these days that to see someone so versatile and move around the field is just so rare. I did say last week I watched the Tigers and I saw James Roberts and David Nofaluma a couple of times get together, and that really inspired me that people are starting to actually get away from this style that everyone's been playing now for so long because they've just been sort of dictated by penalties. But Tom's, I think, looking different because everyone else looks the same. But in saying that, he's... You know, he's 6'5", he's really fast and obviously strong and knows what he's doing, so that helps.
Well, no more evident than last night where it went from Cleary to Luai to Latrell, to Tommy. I don't think I've seen that since 1987, where a halfback passes to a 5-0, who passes to a centre to another centre. That's exactly what – I know what kind of a player you were. I know what kind of coach you are, and I know that you love being a bloke who, you know, just lets the beast run free. But even that type of unstructured play that we watched from New South Wales last night, even though it looked so easy, it takes a lot of work to get that happening.
Yeah, well, it takes a lot of other blokes to put their ego in their pocket and go and do other things, you know, and take up other spaces and hold defence wide. So I think, you know, if you spoke to Tommy and Latrell today, the first people they'd be thanking are mostly their back rowers and halves for giving them a bit of room and a bit of space and early ball. We don't see our centres get early ball much anymore, but you know, Jerome just fed Latrell the ball all night and, you know, picked and choose, and his decision making was great. So, you know, it just worked. And I think conditions definitely played a part. So we don't know what it's going to be like in Suncorp in a couple of weeks. So we've got to make sure we prepare for all different types of surfaces and weather and conditions.
Freddie, I know he's been part of your Origin camps and your teams before, but were you absolutely confident that Tarek Sims had that sort of performance in him? And was there anything specific said by you or any of your other assistants to drive that sort of performance last night?
Now, the big thing we spoke to Tarek about was just basically to be himself, show as much control as possible because the way, you know, the referees are refereeing at the moment, I thought he did a great job.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was just awesome. Just, you know, filled that space perfectly in between a couple of, you know, really flary players, and he just had the hard edge of Tarek there. So, and then on outside then was Brian Tyre, who was just a machine.
Well, somebody's taught Tarek how to throw that pass, because I haven't seen that out of him before.
Yeah, Brandy will say he just put his hands in the air to say, where is he throwing that to? No one knew where Brian was. I don't think
right to the chest.
Yeah, just nailed it. That was they backed each other from the very start, which, and then, you know, they saved a try at the death as well. So that's mostly was the best thing to come out of the game.
As you backed the informed Panther players, a lot of people were saying that Tupu's done enough to retain his spot. A lot of people were saying Jack Whiten should be 5-8, but Brian To'o, Jerome Luai, I thought Yo was unbelievable. And you mentioned that last-ditch tackle on Gagai in the 78th minute. I think that would have pleased you more than anything in the game. But I think my most impressive player in the game, no one's really spoken about him, but his defence on David Fifita all night, Cam Murray. Fifita had 19 runs, and I think Cam Murray levelled him 18 times. And I think in the end, Fifita was going, come on, mate, give me one break. Give me one tackle break.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked at some scores this morning where people do ratings. I think Cam Murray got a 6. I was like, oh, wow. He got a 9 from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can only put people you trust in front of Cam Munster and Dave Fifita and ask him to do a job, but and when they come away and they do, you know, nearly to perfection. So he'll be playing for South Sydney over the weekend. I'll be interested to watch him again. He's a beauty.
He's a beauty.
Well, the best player for the series from New South Wales perspective wins a medal named in your honour, Freddie. Who was your player of the match last night?
My player of the match? Yeah, it's a toughie. Yeah. It's a toughie. I'll sit on that because I didn't have to give one. So
did they give a player's player a 3-2-1?
Yeah, the player's player was Tommy.
Yeah.
But the best bit of advice I got was this morning off Dr. Nathan Gibbs' son. He said they don't do for and against in State of Origin.
True.
Very good. Oh,
that's a great bit of advice.
Gibbsy's protege. He's coming up with a beauty. Wow.
I like that. Hey, so now, speaking of which, just quickly, Dr. Nathan Gibbs, how did he go repairing that cheekbone of Nathan Cleary? Did he need to replace some blood?
He did. Geez, he had some coming out.
Wow.
You know, I didn't know the rules, actually, probably, so I learned something last night. It's a good thing I've learned something about the game. When Nathan came off, we had an opportunity to leave him off and have 12 players, or if you replace, it's a double interchange. So it was pretty critical, I think. The scoreline helped us there, and our forwards are able to play big minutes. But it was good. It was an oversight, and it was something I should have known.
As you know more than anyone, as New South Wales' best ever player, this game of origin throws up different scenarios week in, week out, and we've got two to go. They'll get better. You know that. Queensland will be better. Walsh won't be off after 15 minutes. Papalihi and Pong are coming to the equation. Maybe Ben Hunt. I know that doesn't concern you. You're only concerned about, you know, what your team can do, but after last night's performance, that is just a clinical expression of solidarity, in my opinion, of the New South Wales team. And it's all for the Queenslanders to do. It's a good position to be in, but it's one you're wary of.
Absolutely. Got a great challenge coming up. We haven't won up there since I've been coaching, so they're going to have a different footy team. They become the hunter now. You know, everyone will be praising us, and we'll be spending the next 10 days trying to fend off questions about how good we went. And the boys who played there last year will understand how different it is playing up there. So we've got a big job at hand. They've got to go and play for their club and do a great job there. And then hopefully we'll pick a team come 10 days and away we go again. But it's a tough one because everyone's just going to tell you how good you played.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to do.
Geez, MG, I know we've spoken to this man a bit on this show, but there's a focusedness about him this morning.
Well, as you just said, he's never been one up there as a coach. That's his next goal. And if I know Brad Fittler, that's the way I do. He's just going to leave no stone unturned to get that victory.
Good night's sleep last night, Freddie.
Yeah, mate. All the family's come back. They had a bit of a presentation and it's pretty early, mate. Pretty early.
All right. ResMed pillow doing your wonders?
Oh, yeah. The ResMed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you travel with that, the ResMed? Do you travel with it?
I've got the ResMed pillow tied to my bag, actually.
Brad Fittler, the coach of the New South Wales Blues, congratulations on the victory in game one. Job's not done yet. We look forward to speaking to you ahead of game two.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, well, from a happy New South Welshman to a very sad and sorry and disappointed Queenslander. Oh, welcome in the glue of the Triple M NRL team, Brent Reed from the Australian. Reed, are you still on the ground in Townsville as we speak to you?
Yeah, slowly finding my way home. Tail between legs, head bowed.
What a life demolition.
Life as we know it, over.
No, there's only two games to go. You could still get back
exactly,
in it.
If
I was blindfolded.
As I always say, MG, you can't measure the size of a Queenslander's heart, mate. So this is when we'll see how big it is.
Oh, what absolute bloody rubbish. Hey, Reedy, let's talk some club footy. Canberra at the centre of a couple of big stories in the NRL at the moment. Firstly, Matt Dufty.
Yeah, look, Matt Dufty was actually in Canberra today. He toured the facilities. He met Ricky Stewart. He met the staff. So that move edges ever closer. Now, obviously, there's some other clubs that are looking at Matt Dufty, but right now I think Canberra's probably the head of the queue because they've taken the running on it. And as I said, Dufty was here today. He met the staff, had a look around their new centre of excellence. And I guess the next step is they decide whether they want to make him an offer or not. I would imagine, given it's got to the point where he's touring the facilities, that mightn't be that far away. So there was a bit of talk. Canberra might want him straight away. St George has said that won't happen. But they're definitely looking at it for next year, and that took a step forward today.
The interesting thing in this whole scenario is that I'm reading between the lines here that Charles Nicol Klokstad that is going to be moved to the centres. And I think that the dominoes of the Raiders' season have fallen ever since Klokstad was injured in that game against Penrith. And I know Dufty is a fantastic player, and I think he'd be a great match for the Raiders. And Klokstad, I don't know if he's ever played centre before, Rudy, but that makes all it does is gives him great depth, doesn't it?
Well, there's two sides for MG. One is, I mean, obviously Klokstad had pretty serious neck surgery, and you know Dufty's an insurance policy if he can't, or if he doesn't fully recover from that. The second thing is, as you said, they look at Klokstad as a centre, and I think that's very much in their thinking. If they press ahead with Dufty, then Klokstad could end up in the centres, and centre's an issue for them because, you know, obviously the Curtis Scott drama that's going on right now has been stood down pending an investigation. Jared Croker's been out injured, and his body, from all reports, isn't in the best of shape. So they potentially in need of at least one centre, maybe two. So by getting Dufty, you fill one of those voids. So, look, I'd expect, as I said, I reckon this will move pretty quickly. And I think Canberra will sort of press the go button, provided that they walk away from that meeting today satisfied with what they hear from Matt.
And as one Canberra, well, as one player walks into the Raiders, potentially one player walking out, Josh Hodgson to the Broncos, gathering some steam?
Well, look, obviously they're playing this weekend, aren't they? But the rumours about Josh Hodgson won't go away. And I think this is another one I think we're going to get some traction with it in the next week or two. I mean, as far as I know, Brisbane haven't made an approach to Canberra. Well, Brisbane haven't approached Canberra yet about Hodgson. I'm not sure whether they've approached Hodgson personally, but I don't believe they have. But I think they're close to making a call on that, whether they do it or not. There's a few issues at play. I mean, he's on big money next year. Brisbane will have to give him an extension. They'd have to probably, they'd hope that Canberra would chip in some of that money. Now, I don't think Canberra have got any appetite to do that for next year. That, you know, if they let him go, they don't want to fork out anything for him. So, you know, obviously there's a bit of water to go under the bridge with that one. The first thing is Brisbane's got to make a formal decision about whether they approach Canberra or not, about whether they would release Josh Hodgson. But, you know, I would have thought they'd get the game out of the way this week, and then I reckon the next week or two we'll have a final decision on whether that happens or not.
You got to think that's almost untenable. Josh Hodgson's time at the Raiders is over. Now it's just trying to find a suitable place for him to call home. And I think the Broncos with Adam Reynolds, just also, it was remiss of me to say that Adam Reynolds has endorsed the fact that he wants the Broncos to chase Matt Dufty as well. So, yeah. Look, while we're talking to the Raiders, you know, with Dufty, don't be surprised to see the Broncos speak to him. But I think he'd be a great fit for the Broncos, Josh Hodgson. He's got a wealth of talent. His time, there's too much smoke where there's fire in Canberra at the moment with him. I think he's got to just cut his losses and find a new place to go, like a bit like Adam Reynolds.
Well, I think the issue for Brisbane is they need experience in their spine. I mean, that's one of their priorities in coming months to add some experience. They've done that with Adam Reynolds. I mean, Josh Hodgson's another bloke who's, you know, got a wealth of experience. He's a leader, and that club needs those sort of guys at the moment. So it makes a lot of sense. But as I said, I don't think they're all the way there yet in deciding whether they're going to make that approach. But I'd be surprised if they don't at least ask the question to see whether it's possible or not.
Yeah, the Broncos going from a club without many captaincy options to a plethora of them if those two blokes are at the club next year. And finally, some news coming from across the ditch, or at the moment up the M1, about Ken Mamalo's future.
Yeah, Kenny Mamalo's being offered around the NRL apparently. So his management's reached out to clubs to see whether they're interested in signing Kenny. You know, obviously a big, powerful winger, Kenny Mamalo, would pretty be some value for someone somewhere. It looks like it won't be at the Warriors next year. So
still only 26, MG.
Oh, he's a beast. He's a beast. And I think the fact that he's got his twin on the other wing, Fusatua, might play against him. I think you need one, you know, you need a Brian Tottle type winger in your team, and you need a big one, and they've got two big ones. So, Rudy, while we're on the Warriors, we're hearing that round 17, they're going back to Mount Smart to play their home game against, I think, the Bulldogs for basically a Roger Tuivasa's check bye-bye. But is that it? Then they're coming back to Sydney, or are they staying over there?
No, I think the plan is to go over there and give Roger the opportunity to farewell people in New Zealand. Then they come back and base themselves here again. You know, obviously Roger, huge figure over there in rugby league and a huge figure in New Zealand. They want to give him the chance play a game in front of the Warriors fans before he switches codes, and they've identified that game. So, look, hopefully it happens. Obviously, you know, we've got some COVID scares again at the moment, but hopefully it goes ahead and Roger gets an opportunity because he deserves it.
But just Kim Mamalo, MG, given the departure of Xavier Coates of the Melbourne Storm next year, maybe another name for Brisbane Broncos to be chasing.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? I mean, Brisbane should be in the market for any player that's off contract at the moment, such as their peril. But you know, he's an international winger. He's a bloke who's still got four or five real good years left in him. I'd be chasing him if I had the cabbage.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Brent Reed, the glue, but the Queensland glue. So the glue's not quite as
unravelled this morning.
The glue's not quite as sticky as it once was.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back, baby. Pex Pace.
We'll be
Pex
back,
Pace
baby.
Today.
You wrote us off last year. We'll be back. Don't worry.
You just hop on that plane, have yourself a humble pie, and we'll speak to you next week.
I've seen a few of them in the airport today. Spirits aren't. They're slowly picking themselves up off the canvas. Saw DCE. We're very confident. We'll be back.
I'm glad you saw him because we didn't see him last night.
No.
We like Daly on this show.
Yeah, of course we like him, but did he play?
He had a go.
Oh, man.
He also
is
Pat Malone.
Yeah, I know that.
Reedy, you're fighting a losing battle, mate. Hop on the plane, get back to Sydney safely, and we'll speak to you next week.
See you Saturday at the scrum, baby.
Oh, yes. Back, baby.
Yes.
See you, Reedy.
Love footy? You'll love Seeker's Footy Tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs so you can join in anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com.au. Seeker, your go-to product on the worksite. And now... MG's Tips. Oh, he's got some new highlights, has he?
Nah, mate, we're talking about footy tips.
That makes more sense.
Great to have the full slate of 8 games back for round 14. MG, of course, if people want to hear all of your tips for every single game, grab the listener app, favourite the Rush Hour with MG and Liam, and you can catch up on our round 14 preview podcast. It's up right now, but we are going to focus in on some games thanks to Seeker MG. Let's start it off with the 2 games tomorrow night, a doubleheader on a Friday. Manly taking on Cowboys, your first game at Four Pines Park. Yeah. And Manly looking to pay tribute to the late, great Bob Fulton.
Yeah, we spoke to Tommy Turbo after the Origin match last night, and he was emotional. I asked him whether he'd be backing up, and he said he'll be doing everything he can because this game is a tribute to the late, great Bobby Fulton. So I think Tommy might play, but he won't play big minutes. I'm pretty sure Jake will play. Val Holmes, not sure of, or Kyle Felt, but I think Manly... New name, a new stadium name, in honour of one of their best player that's ever played for them, Bobby Fulton. I think Manly will get the job done.
Mm. Then we head into the second Friday night game, which is your Penrith Panthers taking on a Cronulla Sharks outfit, which is resurgent to some extent. Josh Hannay starting to get the team working for him.
He is of the belief
that Craig Fitzgibbons is also pulling some strings behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But the question, I guess, heading into this one is just how many of those Panthers Origin stars will back up?
Exactly. And I think Ivan Cleary's come out this morning and said some will, some won't. I'm not sure who. I think Nathan would be very much in doubt with a massive laceration just under the eye, which required stitches. Let's go with the young bloke. I think Liam Martin will. I think he'll play. He didn't get that many minutes last night.
And obviously Appy will be there.
Appy will play, of course. So Jerome Luai, I expect to play.
Okay.
It might just be Yao and Cleary, the ones that miss out, but I'm not sure. They might all play.
You think Toto gets there? Put in a big shift.
Yeah, I know. And I think he got stitches as well, so maybe he might have a rest. Look, this is a big game. Sharkies, both these teams come in the competition the same year, 1967, and they've got a good rivalry. It's not as strong as some other clubs, but it is a rivalry. And as you mentioned, the Sharkies are on a 2-game winning streak. They now sit just outside the 8, and it's a big game for them. Of course, I'm going for the Panthers. I don't think that the Panthers will lose this game, but I think it's going to be a tough one in wet conditions. It could go anywhere, the ball, I mean. The Panthers to prevail on the back of a good kicking game from either Burton or Luai.
Or Cleary. You think if Coruscant and Luai are both there, along with Liam Martin, you think those 3 additions... probably enough to get the Panthers home, but wait and see.
With Kickow and Co, yeah, you do. And Crichton.
A lot of heavy favourites in the weekend's games. You got the Roosters heavy favourites over the Titans, the Rabbitohs heavy favourites over the Knights, and the Raiders heavy favourites over the Broncos. You're siding with all the favourites in those games, as well as the Storm to knock off the Warriors. Then we get to the final 2 games of the round. Sunday, this could be match of the round. It's the Parramatta Eels hosting the West Tigers. Similar to the Sharks-Panthers, you've got a high-flying team coming up against a resurgent team. The West Tigers finding a bit of form of late.
Good comparison, Liam. I think that's exactly what it is. I think the Eels and Tigers game reminds me a lot of the Sharks and Panthers game. It's the Tigers are one of them teams that could trouble a lot of sides because of the fact that, you know, we spoke to Freddie Fittler early. He liked what he saw in the back line with James Roberts.
Wasn't that interesting that he was taking inspiration from the West Tigers?
Yeah, and that's, I suppose when things stand out, when you've got a keen eye for footy, they stand out.
Mm.
And that's when you see two wingers combining like he did with the Tigers the other week. He got a kind of an idea to put the centres on the same side as in Origin. So, look, the Eels are Eels are looking great. Reed Marnie's a big out. I miss his defensive efforts around dummy half. I miss his scoots, but they've got Gutho at fullback, and in Gutho we trust.
Yeah, okay, so you're siding with Parramatta there. And then Queen's birthday, the public holiday, no show for us on Monday, but we'll have something up for you. We'll have an offering of sorts. And this game, Bulldogs taking on the Dragons. Now, again, a heavy favourite, the Dragons, $1.20 at time, but this public holiday, there's always a different vibe to these standalone public holiday games, isn't there?
Well, I think what you know is that every eye of the NRL community are upon you. You're the last game on a Monday. Everyone else has played, and you know that every other team and their supporters are watching you. So that, if that's not enough incentive to go out and have a good game, nothing is. Again, the Bulldogs would have this one circled. This is a game we can win, boys. There's not many they can circle this year with a lot of authority, but this is one they could circle and say, let's give these guys a real good run for their money. On the other hand, the Dragons are in eighth spot at the moment, and they don't want to lose and drop any further. They've won one game out of the last three and somehow stayed in the eight. So I think they'll still stay in the eight, but I'd like to see whether Tarek Sims backs up after his heroics last night in Origin. I like Jack Berg in the back row, I must confess. Yeah. I like him there. So if Tarek does come back, he'll probably be on the bench, but I'm looking towards a Dragons victory.
Yeah, and I think you got Ben Hunt looking to prove a point to Paul Green ahead of game two, and Matt Dufty looking to tell the Raiders to just chuck another zero onto the back of the contract offer that they're throwing his way.
Or the Broncos.
Those are MG's footy tips. Thanks to Seeker. If you love footy, you will love Seeker's footy tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs so you can join in any time. Even now, it's round 14, you can still join in. Sign up now at SeekerFootyTipping.com. Seeker is your go-to product on the worksite. MG, we got to get out of here. That's us done for the week.
Whew.
Back to Friday night footy, 6 o'clock, Seagulls, Cowboys tomorrow night.
Oh, what a massive week, as per usual. Thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, have a great long weekend and stay safe and stay random.
For what's on in sport, you've got the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. For what's on at the Star, see thestarsydney.com.au.